pastors and the vicar milling around from table to table at supper time. There's no midweek confirmation classes tonight because LPS is on spring break, and so a little less noise and a little less chatter around here. But we still have two of our confirmation essays tonight, and we pray God's blessings on our confirmads and their confession of faith. On our Wednesdays during the Lenten season, we've been looking at Isaiah 52 and 53, the fourth servant song in Isaiah, the suffering servant. Suffering servant is Jesus. Last week we looked at the servant's surprise, and tonight we examine the servant's sorrow. And we pray that God would bless us as we journey with Isaiah to Good Friday and our salvation being won for us once and for all. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening. Our opening hymn, number 451, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted, a haunting, beautiful Holy Week hymn that basically walks us through Isaiah 52 and 53. Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of Vespers on page 229 and following. We have a special insert for the evening. It says Midweek Lent 3 on it, and the only two readings, that section from Isaiah 52 and 53, begins on the bottom of the front page, and then it goes to the back. And then for our gospel reading, we'll continue our continuous reading of the Passion story through the Gospel of Matthew. We'll sing the Lenten verses. We'll make sure that we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us to faith in your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. We thank you for choosing us when you knew that because of our spiritually dead condition, we could not choose you. We thank you for the suffering and the sorrow of our Lord and Savior Jesus, paying the penalty once and for all for our sin. Heavenly Father, teach us now, forgiven and redeemed, to rejoice in the good news that you have forgiven us, poor, miserable sinners. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 451.
Thank you. The Order of Vespers, page 229. Page 229, we stand. Oh Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will lift up your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to God and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Turn to Psalm 6 as printed on your bulletin insert. We chant it together.
Our 7th and 8th grade confirmads to prepare an essay, and we have our 8th graders deliver that essay to the congregation, and they're always really, really excited about the opportunity to do that. Well, maybe not always, but it is a great opportunity for them to confess their faith, and that's really what we are working toward with our confirmation instruction. Our first essay tonight is Grace Macklin, Jeremiah 29:11.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Hi, I'm Grace, and Jeremiah 29:11 is my confirmation verse. It has been my favorite verse for a long time, but I haven't completely understood what Jesus was saying. Now I have an understanding of what this verse means today and why it is important to remember that God always has a plan. First off, this world is full of sin, and sometimes that sin seems overpowering to us. It all started when Adam and Eve fell into sin. Sin is why bad things happen, but everything happens for a reason. Usually people never want bad things to happen to them. In this case, if a bad thing happens to someone, they often ask why it had to happen to them. If someone's car breaks down and they are late for a big job interview, and because of them being late, they don't get the job, that person will be very angry. They may start to lose faith. They would think that God is biased or isn't paying attention to them. If someone's family member were to die suddenly, they would be very sad and confused. If they prayed to God for the family member to stay healthy and God had a different plan, they would think that God doesn't care about them. Maybe they would even think that God wants bad things to happen to them and not good things, and have good things happen to other people. This is not true, because in the Bible we can see that God has a specialized plan for everyone. Even though someone may feel forgotten or misled, God always has a plan. He has a plan that will not harm us. God is all-powerful. He can do anything, and he knows everything. If a bad thing happens to someone, they can find comfort in knowing that God has them in his arms and cares about them. Every sinner, which is all of us, deserves to go to hell. This was because Adam and Eve fell into sin, but God has a plan to help us. God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of the whole world, so that everyone who believes in him can go to heaven and to have eternal life. He had a plan all along to save the world from their sins, and he has a plan for everyone at every moment. What happens to someone at a single second is all a part of God's individualized plan for them. Again, that person may not know that what happens to them is all a part of God's plan for them, just like that person in the situation I mentioned before. God knows this, but he wants us to see that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, and that he has an individualized plan that is in action right now. Jeremiah 29:11 is not specifically mentioned in the catechism, but it does mention John 3:16, which is one of the most important verses in all of the Bible. John 3:16 is, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It declares that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for the sins of the whole world, and whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. That's God's plan. That was God's plan to save the whole world from their sins, but not everyone believes. In John 14:1, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." In this verse, Jesus wants us not to just believe in God and God's individual plan for you, but believe in God's specific plan that sent Jesus to die on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Jesus wants us then to believe in him so that we may have eternal life, as it says in John 3:16. This verse is my favorite verse because it reminds me that God had a plan to send Jesus to die for the sins of the whole world, and that God has a plan for me right this very instant. I was first introduced to this verse through the movie Soul Surfer. Soul Surfer is a movie based off a true story about a professional surfer named Bethany Hamilton. She lives in Hawaii, and she started surfing with her family when she was very young. One day, while she was practicing for an important competition, a big shark bit off her arm. When she is out of the hospital, she visits her church group leader. Bethany asks why it had to happen to her, and the church group leader tells her Jeremiah 29:11. She learns to accept that her losing her arm is a part of God's plan. This is a lesson that everyone can learn, including me. If something in my life does not go well, I must learn to accept that it is all a part of God's plan for me. I know that only God knows the plan he has in store for me. Most of all, I know that I must always remember that God sent Jesus to die for me so that I may have eternal life. I know that I will remember that God has a plan for me by going to church and hearing his word. God has me in his hands. Even if plans don't go according to my will, I know that I can trust in God and know that His will may be different from my will. Even if bad things happen, I will remember that God has a plan for me. I know that if I go to church, hear His word, and receive His gifts, it will keep me strong in faith always.
Good job. Thanks.
Thank you, Grace.
Maddie, are you ready? All right. Maddie's verse is Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Are you ready? Okay, I know you are.
Hello, my name is Maddie Stolzpart, and my topic is Galatians 2:20. In Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." When I first read this Bible passage, I thought, okay, so I know this passage is about Jesus dying on the cross for me, but that isn't all of it. I had many questions about this passage. How does I am crucified with Christ apply to Jesus dying on the cross for me? What does nevertheless I live mean? How can I die and live at the same time? How does Christ live in me? How can I live in the body and live in the faith? To break down my verse, I decided to divide it into law and gospel. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. This is law. This shows our sin by saying that Christ had to die to take away my sins. The only way to defeat sin is to kill it. Because Jesus died on the cross, my sinful flesh no longer has life. Romans 6:3-4 says, Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that Jesus, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might too walk in the newness of life. But Christ lives in me. This is gospel. This shows our Savior by saying my sinful flesh is gone and Christ replaced it. Christ now lives in me through baptism and believing in Him. He's done the work. He's died on the cross for me and everyone in the entire world. Another passage in Romans is Romans 6:8-9. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, we will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. The life I now live in the body. This is law. It shows our sin by saying that we still live in a sinful nature and we still commit sins. We still disobey the Ten Commandments and all of God's laws. We cannot help it. It's our sinful nature. All of us are born with sin in our heart, sin that dates all the way back to Adam and Eve. Mark 14:38 says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is gospel. Martin Luther has a beautiful way of summing this part up of the verse in his commentary on Galatians. He writes, "I cannot teach, write, pray, or give thanks without the instrumentality of the flesh. Yet these activities do not proceed from the flesh, but from God. We cannot do anything without the help of the Holy Trinity." It even says in the Small Catechism, the meaning of the third article also states that, "I believe I cannot by my own reason or strength believe or come to my Lord Jesus Christ. I live by the faith in the Son of God." What is faith? To start, I looked up the definition in the dictionary. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. We need to trust God. We need to have confidence that He has sent a Savior and there will be a judgment day. We need faith because it is the one thing that connects us to God. What does this verse mean to me? In Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul writes, "I have been crucified in Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." This means that Jesus has done all the work. He has done all the work for us. He died on the cross for us. He defeated sin so that we could go to heaven. We are free. We are free to be Christians, and we are free to go to church. We are free to be baptized, all because of Jesus.
Well, Well, Grace is finally breathing now again, and in a couple of minutes, Maddie will too. Great job, girls, and as we have heard the word and your confession of that word, our service now continues with the readings of Holy Scripture.
A reading from Isaiah 52 and chapter 53. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the Lord of the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. And he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who was with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all of this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Lenten Responsory, page 231. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
That portion of God's Word that we shall read and consider this evening, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 3, where we read as follows. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He has no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. The greatest work of God is faith in the human heart. Now, many people think that faith is easy, or if it's not easy, at least faith is possible. After all, faith is simply a decision of the heart, is it not? The famous preacher Billy Graham popularized this idea of faith as a decision. So his radio show was called Hour of Decision. His magazine was called Decision. And after his sermons, he would call people forward to exercise their free will in making a decision for Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But in contrast to this optimistic idea concerning our so-called free will, we have the words of Isaiah the prophet. Who has believed our report? And the answer is no one. No one, humanly speaking, has believed. No one can believe. Faith is not hard for men. Faith is impossible. You see, you can choose to drive a Ford or a Chevy. You can choose to put on the green shirt or the blue one. But no one can make a decision for Christ. You have no more power to do this than a baby had the power to be conceived. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord is his strength and power. And this is a reference to Jesus, who comes into the world to do battle on our behalf. But look at how he appears. He grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. A young plant is weak and frail. Anybody could step on it or pluck it up. And this is the arm of the Lord? This is the King of glory? We have an account of another king in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar. And he had a dream in which he was a mighty tree reaching up to the heavens. And all the birds of the air, the nations of the world, came to him to find refuge in his shadow and to nest in his branches. But the King of Kings is a young plant and a root out of dry ground. Now we know that roots aren't supposed to be out of the ground in the first place. They're supposed to be in the ground. But if you put a root in dry ground in a desert, you wouldn't expect anything to grow. If it lived at all, it would be stunted and sickly. And so the arm of the Lord appears to us like a weakling. He looks like a loser. The mighty power of God is revealed in Christ, who comes as a man to earth and meekly submits to oppression and injustice. Jesus had no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. When we look at him with our natural eyes, we don't see the power of God. We see a weakling. We see a man who seems to be powerless against evil. And there's nothing in him that is attractive to us. Nobody wants to follow him or emulate him. Nobody wants to share in his suffering. And nobody would ever make a decision for him. In fact, every one of us given the choice would make the only decision that our free will can make. Free will always turns away from God because the free will is bound to do exactly that. He is despised and rejected by man. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Have you ever seen someone who is such a loser that it's painful to even watch them? And you have to shield your eyes and turn away because it just hurts to look? This is our Savior. And not only did we turn away, we esteemed him not. This means that we looked at him and counted his life to be worth nothing. He was of no value to us. What good is a Messiah who's powerless against evil?
Goes out and drowns. Jesus was no hero. This is what we must understand to receive the true faith and not be offended by his humility and weakness. He's no hero. He was despised and rejected. And when things got tough, the crowds abandoned him, his disciples ran away, and only a few women stuck around to the bitter end, the crucifixion. He wasn't mobbed by adoring fans in his final hours. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Now, we like stories about heroes. Heroes go into battle and somehow against all odds they find a way to win. Heroes, just when the situation seems most dire, they out-muscle, they out-gun, they outsmart the enemy. But Jesus, though he'd been fighting against Satan for years, when the day of the ultimate climactic battle approached, Jesus prepared for death. Said to his disciples, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And so he went and prayed. But those he asked to watch with him fell asleep. And so he prayed alone, sweating great drops of blood, asking his Father if there was some other way to avoid the suffering of the cross. But there was no other way. It was the will of the Father for Jesus to drink the cup to its bitter dregs of all human suffering and sorrow. And while the Lord Jesus was enduring a sorrow deeper than that any man had ever known, the ones who were closest to him were too tired to wait with him, too tired to encourage him, too caught up in their own concerns to pray with him. Isaiah truly said, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not esteem him." But God would do us a favor by showing us how fickle and unreliable we truly are, so that we would find our only strength not in ourselves, but in the arm of the Lord. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It has been revealed to those who have examined their life, examined their heart and their emotions and their resolve, and found themselves utterly incapable of true faith. These are the words that Maddie confessed from Luther's Small Catechism just a few moments ago. "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him." These are familiar words to us. Most of us have memorized them. We've certainly all heard them. But have you ever stopped to consider what it is that we just confessed? "I believe that I cannot believe." You know, this just sounds crazy. Who has believed our report? Well, no one. No one could believe this apart from the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. The whole world would turn away from this foolishness. Because you know the old saying, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. The old Adam knows this. The old Adam looks at the suffering of Christ on the cross and says, "I don't want anything to do with this. If I get too close, I might end up dying too." And he's right. Because the cross of the old Adam. But Jesus does not seek to avoid his cross. And not only does he embrace it, he then invites his followers to share with him in his suffering and death. If you think about it, this has to be just about the worst sales pitch ever. You know, there's plenty of suffering already in the world. Why would anybody make a decision to sign up for more? But this is not the biggest reason we hide our faces from him. There's something even more going on. Sinful man rejects. Sinful man despises the sorrow of the servant, esteems him not, doesn't want to look at the suffering of Christ. And why is this? Why do we not want to look? It's because we don't want to see the source of his sorrow. He sorrows over your sin. He suffers because of your sin. Luther writes, "When you see the nails piercing Christ's hands, you can be certain that this is your work. And when you behold the crown of thorns, rest assured that these are your evil thoughts." And you see why the sinful nature does not want to look at this. It cuts. This hurts to admit. But it is the truth. And faith does not move away. Instead, faith looks full upon the cross of Christ and confesses, "Here is my handiwork," right here. "Here is the sum, the outcome of my sinful living, my selfish thoughts, and yes, even my good intentions. Here is the best that I have to offer to God." Look upon his cross and see the best of men, the strength of men. Yes, his sorrow is great because your sin was great. We look upon the cross and we see the strength of men, our very best. And we see the weakness of God. The suffering servant crushed and dying, weighed down beneath the sin and strength of men. And yet, the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of men. The foolishness of God is wiser than all the wisdom of men. Yes, your sin was great, but your Savior is greater still. And Jesus was willing to suffer the scorn and ridicule. He was willing to be despised and rejected of men. He was willing even to have God the Father turn his back on his own Son. He was willing to endure all this so that you could find favor with God. He was willing to endure not only carrying your sin, but to become sin itself, so that you would be the righteousness of God. Who has believed our report? Well, here's the miracle. You have. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The power and strength of God has been revealed to you in the foolishness and weakness of the cross. This is what God promised to you. This is a miracle. God has granted you faith to look at this and believe that this is Christ for you. God promised this through the prophet Zechariah. "I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, I will pour out on you a spirit of grace that cries for mercy, so that you will look on me, on him whom you have pierced." And God has kept this promise to you. And so today we look upon him and we do not turn away. We don't hide our faces from him. We look to the cross, to the suffering servant whom we pierced. And there we see the death of our sin. We see the death of death itself. The world, of course, course, turns away in disgust. But we embrace him. For in the cross, after the sorrow, we find joy. From this barren hill flows the forgiveness of all your sins. From the dry earth of Calvary springs forth the root of Jesse. And here we find our champion, our hero, our victor. Here in his weakness, we find our strength. Here in his condemnation, we find our salvation. And in his death, we find eternal life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have kept your promise to us and poured out upon us the Spirit of grace that cries for mercy, so that we may not turn away, but may look fully upon him who we pierced, seeing there the depth of our sin, but even more the greater depth of your love for us. Guard and keep us in this faith unto life everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen. We continue with the Canticle, page 434.
Thank you.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, our suffering servant, our man of sorrows, our only Savior from sin. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship tonight. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of Jesus would be yours today and always. Our service continues and concludes with the litany on page 288. Please stand as you're able. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world. God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter,
help us, Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
help us, Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest. Especially this night, we pray for the work of Dr. Allman in Germany, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit. We implore you to hear us,
good Lord,
to raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord,
to give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children. Especially this day we pray for Chip, Susie, Marianne, Al, Cindy, Kimberly, and the Siebert family, and all those that we remember in our hearts. To free those in bondage and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts. To give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth. And graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ.
Yes.
O Lord.
Have mercy.
O Christ.
Have mercy.
O Lord.
Have mercy.
Pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we turn from our evil ways and live. Graciously spare us those punishments which we, by our sins, have deserved, and grant us always to serve you in holiness and pureness of living. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, 437, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed?